Fantastic. We all know what we're doing now. And for the next thrilling part of the service, one of the wonderful things that God is doing at the moment is he's brought five folk from Revelation Church who've joined us, really because they want to get involved in this mission in Kentish Town around this Queen's Crescent work. And one of them is our dear friend Luke, who has been an elder at Rev, so we feel very honored and privileged to have him with us on this amazing journey. So give him a big hand.
As Nick said, my name's Luke. I realize that most of you would have got like a text yesterday and gone, is it a youth service again? Who is this Luke Ellis? Well, I am Luke Ellis, and I can assure you that I can drive and I have children, so it is not a youth service today. But we are going to have a dynamic reading, as I was so inspired by the youth a few weeks ago. So don't worry, everyone is going to be involved here today, whether you like it or not. You're going to be involved in our reading of the scripture today. But just a little bit about me, because I know sometimes it's a bit weird when someone stands up and you have no idea who they are. I've been in London since 2008. I moved up when I was 18 because I felt God wanted me in London, so you can do the maths and work out how old I am. I'm married, and I've been married for 10 years now to my wife, Sarah, who's just gone out at the back there with our son, Sammy, who's one, and our daughter, Isabel, who is four, but she's not here today because her school got pinged with the COVID stuff. But she's tested negative, so that is all good. But Raywin, who many of you will know, offered to come and look after her so that my wife and son could be here, so that's really kind. And it's just been such a blessing to be around you guys for the last month or so. I still don't know barely any of your names. And I realize that many of you are just like, who is this guy? But fortunately, I'm going to speak from God's word today and allow that to speak. So if anything, listen to God's word and just assume that it's him speaking through me. So I've asked for one volunteer today to help us with our passage. And Bob is then going to nominate everyone else. Because Bob knows more names than I do. So we are picking up in Acts 4, and Joe so helpfully explained the different prayer meetings. Nick, if you can come and be our lame beggar as well, that would be great. Nick, can you just do a little bit of demonstrating about how that lame beggar might have felt? I think there was leaping, I think there was jumping. No, you're up, you've been healed. You've been healed. You've been healed. There we go. There we go. There we go. Now, the lame beggar, you can come and stand with Bob. Bob, we need a John. John is going to play Peter. Bob is going to play Peter. Bob, can you pick a John?
Emeka. You up for being John?
Emeka. So we're going to learn some names. If you don't know names, we're all going to learn names this morning. So this is Emeka. Emeka, nice to meet you. I'm Luke. How's it going? So we've got Peter, John, and Nick, our lame beggar. Now, Emeka, can you pick... What do I need? I need three narrators. You can pick anyone in the room. They can be young. They can be old. Your son. Of course, he is stitching you up. What's your son's name, Emeka? Kanaya. Come on up, Kanaya. Let's give him a round of applause. If you don't know names, you can pick someone. Enyeka. Lovely. Would you like to pick our third narrator? Emma. Emma's up. Great. So we've got some narrators. So... You are our first narrator. You are our second narrator. Don't worry. Don't worry. I've got it all written down. We should have checked that everyone can read, but that'll be fine. We'll work that out. And then I need 12 people. You can put your hands up if you want to be involved. Yeah, come up, come up. That's two. Come on, come on, come on. Right, we've got three. We need nine more. Don't be shy, otherwise we'll start picking people. Norman's got his hand up. Norman's got his hand up, and I think you're helping him as well, so we've got two more there, both of you. If anyone's good at counting, you'll realise we haven't got 12 yet. You're like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but it's harder to get people up if you're going to say they're going to be the nasty people. There we go. How many have we got? Okay, where's that microphone? Where's your microphone, Nick? I realise that I've got a microphone. So, if we can have our narrators over there, Peter and John and lame beggar here. Okay, narrator one, where is narrator one? Here we go, narrator one, can you read in a nice big loud voice what's on that card, please? This is the God's word today. Let me pray, as we hear God's word. This is God's word, despite it being a bit of fun, but hopefully you will remember the story better because of this.
And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly announced, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day.
Arresting.
For it was already evening. But many of those...
There's a commotion, isn't there?
Yeah.
They're acting. It's very good acting. They need to be a bit quieter so we can hear you, though.
But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000.
Brilliant. Thank you. Should we give them a round of applause? Lovely reading. So these lot have come and arrested Peter and John after they were preaching and teaching, and about 5,000 men, which I think kind of people would say that's 5,000 men, which means there's probably 10,000 people on that day saved, which is quite extraordinary. So narrator number two, where is narrator number two? Behind the Sadducees. Sadducees, why don't you take Peter and John over this side? Come back over this side. Very dynamic. You're very annoyed. You've arrested them. Narrator two, over to you.
On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were on the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired.
Thank you. Now you are all of those people. And Daniel, if we can have our first slide. Now with gusto, I want you to say the line that is on the screen. You're asking Peter and John this. I'm going to say three, and then all of you are going to say this line, okay? One, two, three.
What name do you do this?
Okay. Now, Peter, come forward, Peter. Thank you very much. Thank you. Here you go, Peter, your first line.
Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well.
There he is. He's still standing. He's still. Thank you, Bob. That was with such gusto. You've got another line coming in a sec. Did you notice what Peter was saying there? This Jesus who you crucified, us, God raised from the dead. You see that? It's the difference of the people crucified, but God raised them from the dead. Bob, second line.
This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
So who knows what a cornerstone is? One hand. Great. It's good. That means if I can explain it. So now, Sadducees and Pharisees and elders and rulers, you are going to help me explain this. So can half of you come and stand to this side, please? Come over here, Norman. Yeah, that'd be great. And then half of you stay this side. Now I want you to turn around, and you turn around as well, please. Now, without looking at each other, I want you to stand in lines that join up. You're not allowed to talk to each other. You're only allowed to, in your group, you have to create a line with this group over here and this group over here, which joins. So we've got two lines, but obviously they're not meeting because they've just started separately. But the cornerstone is the first point in a building that helps determine. So if I come and stand here, and now if you come and touch me, so you come over this line. Oh, this is not very COVID safe. I should have thought about that. But you've got your mask on. So, and Dan, if you come over here and keep coming, bring your line. So if you have a cornerstone, then you build out from here, and then you have two lines. So what they're saying is you rejected the first stone. So how are you supposed to live a life without the right cornerstone in place? How are you supposed to find the way if you don't put Jesus as the first? So that's what he's saying about the cornerstone. It's the first stone you put in when you're building any building, and then you're not trying to guess where these lines might join. You've already got it. Great. Thank you. Sadducees, Pharisees, elders, you can sit down. We have got one more line from our narrator.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus.
Great, thank you. You see that? They weren't special. They weren't smart people, but they recognized that these men had been with Jesus. That is our story today, which I'm going to focus on. Thank you to all of our readers and actors. Wonderful. I feel like I should give out prizes. I feel like that's what we do. Joey's got lots of sweets. Right, so hopefully that story will stick with you a little bit more. But this whole story starts with a miracle, which escalates into 10,000 people being saved and the church growing in number and strength. And to be honest, throughout the whole book of Acts is largely an account of believers being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit and seeing God do extraordinary things as they are obedient to him. The whole, if you read the book of Acts, that's what you see. People praying, as Joe was saying, God filling them and them doing extraordinary things. And I love it when Peter is asked, how was this miracle possible? Peter hits back with the truth of the gospel. The same gospel that is the truth today, that would have been 2,000 years ago, is the same for us. Jesus, the perfect man, never did anything wrong, was crucified by foolish and stubborn people. That Jesus, who was crucified, was raised to life by God. Jesus was a man rejected by us. But us who reject him, God made the cornerstone of our foundation. Salvation does not come through anyone else but Jesus. He is the stone and the only way that we can be saved. And you might be here today and you might be going, what do I need saving from? This might be the first time you're hearing someone explain to you about Jesus. Well, the Bible says that one day we will all stand before the Lord. And those who have sought forgiveness for turning away from Jesus and turn to a life of following him will be able to stand, knowing they won't be condemned. If we can have the next slide, Daniel. These are Jesus' words in John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He didn't come to condemn, he came to save. And as I say, I don't know many of you in this room. In fact, I know very few of you. I know a few names. But if you're here today and you know in your heart that you've not put your trust in Jesus, or you know that actually you haven't been walking with the Lord recently, you can put your trust in Jesus today now. Jesus says that all who call on his name shall be saved. And I know that there are many here in this room who have done that. But before I get into the meat, I wanted to give people an opportunity if they've never responded to Jesus, if they've never called on the name of Jesus, or maybe they have and they'd like to recommit to Jesus today to do that. And if your heart might be going now, or you might feel a sense of conviction, that will only be the Holy Spirit. That's not me. It's not me trying to condemn you. That's the Lord speaking to you. And what I'm going to do, a short prayer is going to come up behind me. I'm going to read it, and you might want to say it in your heart as a chance to say, actually, I know that I need to follow Jesus. And for those of us who have maybe done it many times, I know sometimes reading these words again is really helpful because you go, I'm saved because of what Jesus has done. So I'm going to pray this just to get into it. And then, so if we can have the next slide, Daniel, and then if you follow it along as I read, that would be great. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. There might be obvious things that stand out to you in your mind and you just want to bring them before the Lord. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that is wrong. Thank you that you died for me on the cross so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of the Spirit. I now receive the gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you just know that in your heart you're recommitting to Jesus, I know Nick and Bob, who are the elders here, or myself, would love to speak to you after service, just to hear a bit more about your story, a bit about who you are and how we can help you on your journey with Jesus. So please, don't be shy, don't be ashamed. So many in this room have come to Jesus before. So back to our passage, I guess the two things I want us to focus on today, if you remember anything I've said today, is that, and then we can have the next slide, Daniel, it's these were normal, everyday people. And the second thing is that their boldness came from the Holy Spirit. So start with normal, everyday people like you and me. I love it. In verse 13, the last verse we read, it says, when the people saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So a question to everyone here today, put your hand up if you think you are the most impressive person in this room. That was the answer I was expecting. A room full of wonderfully humble people. I wonder what the response will be to my next question. Put your hand up if you feel like sometimes you wouldn't even know where to start with sharing your faith in Jesus. Again, a room full of humble, honest people. Remember that Peter, who was declaring so boldly, is the same person who denied Jesus the night before he was going to be crucified. He denied ever knowing Jesus, despite Jesus saying, "This is the man I will build the whole church upon." I think Peter would have had the same response to the questions I just asked. Peter was like us, imperfect, normal people, but he was chosen by God, just like us. And he did the best he could to be obedient and follow Jesus. I love that Peter and John, that people were astonished by what had happened. Because they were looking at him going, these are just fishermen. These are just fishermen. But they could see that these normal fishermen had been with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus has so fundamentally changed them that it was so recognizable in the way they carried themselves, the way they spoke with conviction and their boldness. I love it that that was the most impressive thing about them. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I'd love people to say the most impressive thing about me is that I know Jesus, that I have a good relationship with him. Now, I've got a bit of an ego and I love to think I'm impressive, but I want that to be the most impressive thing about me. And I want to say, I've been around this church now for a month or so, and it's a church full of people who have been following Jesus for decades, some long before I was born. And I just want to tell you how much of a blessing it's been for my family and I to be with you and to be on this adventure that we've got coming ahead. I was at Revelation Church, but I'm with you guys now. So stop calling me from Revelation Church. Please. We'll get to introduce you more. You'll get to know us a bit more, but we're with you. We're not leaving. We're not going back. We're here for what God's called us to. And what I've loved about being with you is things that I get anxious and worried about. How are we going to fit into a venue? You smile and pray. When things are a bit uncertain and we don't know what's going on, you keep praying and looking to Jesus. When we don't even know what things will look like in September, there seems to be an extraordinary sense of peace. And it's an honour to be around you. It's a genuine blessing. And what I love is your faith isn't glamorous. It isn't flashy. I imagine it's sometimes hard. I imagine sometimes it hurts. But I'm pretty sure all of you would say it's worth it following Jesus. And this is from just being around you, that I imagine the ways that you would say you've stuck close to the Lord is staying in his word, is by praying, is bringing big decisions in life to him, is looking to the needs of others and taking every opportunity you can to glorify him. It's genuinely an honour to be around you. I haven't got that written in my script. It's genuinely been a blessing. I love that God chooses to use everyday humble people to see his kingdom advance. God wants to use us, everyone here in this room, to see his kingdom advance. Who would say that feels a bit intimidating? Who feels completely underqualified to do that? Would I rather leave it to someone else? But what did Jesus tell his disciples? Go and make disciples of all nations. So are we going to try our best to be obedient to Jesus? Yes. So how? How are we going to do this? Well, we're going to do it with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, said despite him going back to heaven, he was going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the key to ordinary people like Peter and John, you and me, everyone here today, of seeing God do amazing things. See, after the passage, as Joe was sharing about, these guys were being persecuted, and rather than going and hiding away, they went to a prayer meeting saying, give us more boldness. Give us more boldness to share. They didn't hide away. They didn't decide to keep quiet. But they did it because they knew that God, Jesus had called them to. And as Joe shared, as they prayed, the whole place shook. It says in verse 31 of that, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Sounds like a similar scenario to what we heard at the youth service. Believers were gathered, the Holy Spirit came, and then God used them to add 10,000 people being saved. And what does the Holy Spirit look like? Kids, youth, I need your help here. Daniel, can we have the next slide, please? Or it might be a few. I might not have given you a thumbs up. This guy. Youth. Anyone who knows who this guy is? Yes. From Mario Kart. Bullet Bill, I think someone said. Adults, you might not know who Bullet Bill is, but the kids do. Can you explain what Bullet Bill does? Go on, Daniel, as you're helping me. He tries to destroy things. That's one answer. That was a yes, that's good. Go on. He rams through everything. Yes. You see, the kids are talking about he plows through. The interesting thing with Bullet Bill on Mario Kart, you basically only get him if you're in last place. And it helps you to propel forward. Who's ever got Bullet Bill in first place? Kids? Oh, you have. I'm always at the back. That's why I always get Bullet Bill. But the point is, in Mario Kart, you're driving around and then you get these boxes, which are like can be different things. But if you're at the back, if you're feeling not very good, what they do is they give the algorithm or whatever gives you Bullet Bill to accelerate you, to help you, because they basically are saying, you can't do this on your own. We need the Holy Spirit as our Bullet Bill in our lives. Now, if anyone thinks they can do this on their own, you can't. That's fine. The Holy Spirit is the only one who saves. It's in the scriptures. We need that injection of the Holy Spirit to help make us effective. And I want to encourage every one of you here that your lives are an incredible testimony of what Jesus has done. An incredible testimony of God's power at work in your life. Could anyone save themselves? No? Very good. I'm not used to getting like responses. In Rev, we're quite quiet. They are quite quiet. Sorry, even I'm getting mixed up. But no one can deny your trust in Jesus if you're here today. You may feel like you don't have the most amazing testimony. But you do. You genuinely do. God loved you so much that he gave his son for you. Every person in this room, he gave him for you. No one could deny what God had done to the lame beggar. Likewise, no one can deny what God has done in your life. Peter writes this later in one of his letters, 1 Peter 3:15. If we can have the slide up, Daniel, that would be great. It says, have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honour Christ as the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Now imagine if you've given your life to Jesus, you've got a hope that goes beyond the grave. And all Peter, this man who denied Jesus, who then preached on the day of Pentecost and saw thousands of people saved, this man who was normal but knew Jesus, is saying to us, we don't have to have a deep theological, historical understanding to share the gospel. We just need to be able to share about the hope that we have in Jesus. And going by his example, then we just let God do the rest. Because he was an uneducated common man filled with the Spirit. So as we're coming to the end of this little series of looking at Acts, looking at the start of the church, I'd love us to respond by praying for God to fill us with his Holy Spirit afresh. That we might be people who see God do extraordinary things through our obedience to him. That might result in praise and glory to his name. Now, I wonder if the band can come up. We're going to sing a song that Joe said. And if you'd like to stand, that would be great if you're able to. And before we sing this song, I'm going to pray for us. And if you're feeling stirred by God's word this morning, but don't even know what to do next with it, well, fortunately, you're exactly like me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Now, sometimes it's helpful in terms of making a gesture of wanting to receive from the Holy Spirit. People often put their hands out as if an open gesture of saying, Lord, I want to receive from you. And you might want to do that where you are. You can close your eyes. Everyone close their eyes in the room then, and you don't feel self-conscious about other people. But yeah, I'm just going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. And then we're going to sing this song as a prayer, as Joe said. Holy Spirit, we invite you here today. Would you fall afresh on us? Sometimes we feel so inadequate, unqualified, unimpressive, Lord. We don't even know where to start. But Lord, we want to follow your commands and be obedient to you. And Holy Spirit, I'd ask that you fall afresh on us today. Would you fill us with boldness? I pray that as a church, we'd be a people empowered by your Holy Spirit, and we'd see you do extraordinary things. Not for our glory, Lord, but for yours. Maybe if just as the band begin to play, that you might want to just begin speaking out, Lord, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. God can hear every single one of us. He doesn't worry about people speaking simultaneously. If you want to feel that boldness, you are nervous about what stepping out in faith might look like, it's a perfect opportunity to say, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me? I don't know what I'm doing, but I trust you. Lord, I pray that as a church, we might see, be able to look back at moments and know that it came from prayer and seeking you. Not by clever initiatives, not by smart ways of thinking, Lord, but because we're a people who are devoted to you. You prayed and were filled, and many people were added. Would you be glorified above all else, Lord? Amen. Amen. We're going to sing this song now, but if you did pray that prayer for the first time and you want to speak to someone, Nick and Bob, I'm sure, will be down here at the front at the end, and they'd love to speak to you. But yeah, over to the band.
It's so nice to see everybody. Good to see you, Norman. Sneaked in. Brother Norman, Uncle Norman, Mr. Norman. And fantastic to have Bola from Kendrickstown Evangelical Church leading our worship this morning. Fantastic to see Anna and Sophie at the back, and lots of other people who are making their first steps back into normal church life. So that's good. So that area over there, Emeka and Olivia, they probably don't know, but that's the bit where you're not allowed to sing. As you can see, it's a very popular area. But since you're the only people in there, you can stay. It's fine. We tried to be, the rule, isn't it, is that we love one another. So we, for people who are very sensitive, and want to, or maybe vulnerable and wanted to sit over there, that's why we had that, where there was extra ventilation. So, just to, mention, oh yeah, so also very, very nice to see, lots of new people. Genesis, Sarah, David. Who else have we got that's new? Azita. It's come with Karosh today. Amazing. It's, and where is she? Ada. Yes, good to see you. Fantastic. Just two or three things. First of all, the LEAD course. Can we just put it up there? We do this LEAD course with Relational Mission. And we have four people at the moment. We have Emeka and Leonie and Ivan and Mauricio. And you heard from Mauricio last week. It's a two-year course, and it's really, really good. And I want to particularly encourage people who don't think that they that they should go on it, because all sorts of people. For example, people who are like Bob and Vicky, like getting aiming to get a little bit less busy in life, but serving God in their latter years, dare I say it. But really, every generation. And so Ivan is just going to very briefly come up and just share with us the best thing about the LEAD course. We heard from Mauricio last week.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, I'd like to encourage you to, if you like, to do the course I started last year, finished by the first year. For me, it's been a really helpful and encouraging course. Yes, it's a bit busy. You have to squeeze somehow the time to do it. But God has helped me to do that. Apart from the courses that you do monthly, you also has the opportunity to choose different hados, they call, like different courses or topics that you would like maybe to get in, deep into it. One that I chose was Grasping God's Word. In that one, they gave us a book, quite chunky book. But it really helps to read, not in high speed, but slowly, the God's Word, and understand. Because sometimes when we read, we can miss a lot of words that are really meaningful for us. And also, another particular thing that I realized, so when you want to share the gospel with others. The Old Testament says how it's going to apply to me in this time in 2021. So this course explains to you how to translate from our understanding and how God help us, you know, to actually share, and then you share with others. It's amazing, this course. Yes, it's really quite intense, but it has helped. Another haddock that I chose was natural, supernatural. There are a lot of people says, how can things could happen? Or maybe how can I be healed? That particular course is helps to understand from the biblical point of view, backing up with the Word of God, what God says and what He can do for us. So understanding more, and then you will realize, oh, what in my life I have experienced that. So you can share with others the gospel. So I would encourage, I think it's for anyone to do it.
Yeah. Thanks, Ivan. So if you want to go on the lead course, I'll send around the link. Have a look at the detail, but this is the last week to do that. I know there's at least one person signed up for it this year, but it would be great if there were some more. Secondly, Living Hope. Can we just put that one up, Phil? Very quickly want to mention this. Our dear friend Gerard and Jeannie, as you know, who suffered so much, but God has turned their suffering into an amazing ministry of really helping suffering people. And their two children up there, who they lost, and how God has turned that around in a way that they've been able to reach tens of thousands of people in a very remarkable way. And this is Gerard's book about what he learned, Living Hope. I know who's read it. Is Verdon here? Who had the hand up? Alan, is it good? Yeah, probably difficult to read actually, because it's some of it's so heartbreaking, but really, really very good. So do go online, www.livinghopebook.com, if you'd like to get that. I did say to Gerald when I spoke to him, I'd mention that, but it'll be a blessing. And then finally, August Sundays. By the way, there is a prayer meeting on Tuesday, so I'll just slip that one in. Tuesday night at Chalk Farm. Come along to that, 7:30. But what's happening in August? So we are in transition as a church. And as you know, we've been given an opportunity to join with and work with our friends in Bassett Street, Kentish Town Evangelical Church, and we are so excited about it. And actually, these August months when things are a bit quieter and people are on holiday gives us an opportunity to just be together with them. Now, there's going to be limited space in August, certainly, and so we're going to send out a little thing just asking you if you want to come or not, so we know the numbers, because we're going to have to work out the space quite carefully. There won't be any children's stuff in the sense that there won't be Flame or Tribe or Ablaze. Children are welcome, but you're pretty much going to have to look after them yourselves. That's just for an hour, 11 to 12 at Bassett Street. Last year, we didn't have any services on Sunday. We were just on the heath together and just having fellowship, and that was really, really good. So we're going to do that at 1 p.m., so everybody is welcome to come to that. And we're hoping that people from Bassett Street ourselves will just have that opportunity to mix together, which would be really, really good. So just to summarize again, 11 to 12, a simple service, and we're going to send something out so you can actually say if you're not going to be there, if you're going to be there or not, and then definitely let's all gather at 1 p.m. on the heath. How do they do, Joe? Joe's been briefing me on that all week. She's worried there's going to be too many people and we're not going to fit in. But we're going to trust God that he's going to lead us forward in this. Just that verse, about the leading. Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and hidden things that you do not know. God has got us on a journey where he's told us we're going, but we don't know the details yet of how it's going to work out. So we're asking for two things, really: prayer and patience in this next exciting step of our journey. I saw you there with your pencils, Joe. Joe, do you want to just explain what Tribe and Kids are doing, and then I'll...